verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. From a child I was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The next word is reproof, which is the proof, evidence of salvation. Look at that. He continues to talk about doctrine. So when he talks about reproof there, he's still explaining the doctrine. Then he talks about correction. That is to set things in place. Then instruction in righteousness, which is to affirm again that doctrine must promote spiritual growth. By teaching, we affirm, and then eventually we bring about spiritual growth. Now, again, we're at the book of Revelation. We have looked at the words like chastening, rebuke, and all that. We looked at the Nicolaitans and the candlestick. Look at Revelation 2 again and verse 5. 2 and verse 5. Okay. It talks about the candlesticks. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, we talked about that candlestick. This is a church that had works. Look at verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor. Correct? And thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them that they say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars. So they had works. So, don't see their first love as a work or as a deed. The first love is referring to that they were having dependence now on the works. As important as those works were, you are not supposed to be dependent on them. Our first love is in what God has done. Look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 5 says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Notice the word love is in the past tense. He was talking about that in their teaching. Something critical is missing in the content of their doctrine. The love of God, and what we can call the finished work of Christ. So as much as they were laboring, that was being, it wasn't being emphasized in their teaching. And don't forget, this is the only church where he said he would take away the candlestick. Don't forget again, that like we said, this candlestick refers to the mode of gathering. That is, he was not talking about the church will end. It won't bring glory to Christ. You know, so this is a restoration. By the time he sent, by this time around, he's going to send someone else who is coming to restore. Just like Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus to bring in restoration and order. Again, we said the first love is the fact that they had left the love of God for them. 1 John 4:9, he says, we love him. The word him there is italicized. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:9, we love him because he first loved us. And it's actually we love because he first loved us. We don't find this in any other rebuke in the church. So, the one in Sinner, for example, there's no rebuke at all. The church has Sinner. Then you look at Revelation 2:12 and 14. That's Pergamos. Pergamos, I have few things against you. The word against you is the word kata. It means contrary to you. That is, I have something that is contrary to you. A spot, a defect that does not belong to the church. Notice something in Pergamos. Again, the doctrine of Balaam. It's a rebuke as touching doctrine. So, the emphasis in all this rebuke was about what was being taught. Again, Thyatira, Thyatira, verse 20. They had love. See, verse 20. They had love. Thyatira had love. They had love. Yep. They had love. Service, patience, faith. Notice that. This shows the difference between a servant and false prophets. So, was he addressing believers in chapter 20, verse 20, 21 and 23? What did he say about the church? Look at verse 24. But as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depth of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other body. So there were people that didn't have this doctrine. They don't have this kind of teaching, you know. But were there people teaching this doctrine around them? Now, did they detest it like Ephesus? No. Are you listening? Because that's the reason why this doctrine sought to seduce his servants. So whoever had this doctrine, were they believers? No. So you can say that this correction is for lack of what? Discernment. What did they do? Because look at 20, let's say 20 together. Because you suffer the woman, you allow. The word allow, the suffer there is here, what appear me, APHIEMI, it means to allow to go. They didn't have the doctrine. But you know what he said? He said, this doctrine is trying to seduce my servants. The word there is planaho, PLANAO, that is to deceive. So, is it clear to us now that one of the good works of a church is to rebuke false doctrine? Is that consistent? Very consistent. It's part of the good work of a church. So why is it people saying, let's just leave things alone? Jesus is saying to them, I have this against you. You have, don't allow it. Okay? But of course, it must not be like Ephesus, that was what they were doing, and they had forgotten their first love. Hallelujah. Every sermon they are saying is the wrong teaching. The wrong teaching. No emphasis on the finished work of redemption. Are you out there? So look at the word. So you have the word Jezebel. It's the wife of King Ahab, used 22 times in the Old Testament, a particular woman. So he addresses this as a false prophet or prophetess, which is a teaching. And he says it's meant to seduce. Now listen well. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, don't lose this. When he mentions fornication, write this down without shadow of doubt. He's not implying man and woman. No. There's a consistent thing he says. Pay attention. Fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Notice this, so you won't lose it. Go back to chapter 2 again, 14. To eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication, it's the same thing. So, the word here is the word porneo. P-O-R-N-E-U-O, which Paul used in 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 1 Corinthians 10:8, two times. However, the usage here is different. In Revelation 2:14 and 20, which we have seen, and 21, he uses this for sacrifice unto idols. If I let's go further a bit. Revelation 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth, I will show unto thee, verse 1, the judgment of the great oar that sits upon many waters. With whom the kings of this earth have committed fornication. Can you see? He's talking about idol worship. Are you listening? Revelation 17, 1 and 2. Again, Revelation 18, 3. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth were waxed rich with the abundance of her delicacies. So is this literal? I'm asking the question. No. Okay, one more, verse 9.
The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live diligently shall bewail her and lament without fault. They shall see the smoke of her burning. So, are we referring, what are we talking about? Is it idolatry he's talking about or physical immorality? The morality here is spiritual. It's idolatry. Is it clear? Is this very clear? Let me see your hand. It is clear. Is it clear to us? Though he uses the same word porneo, which is used for fornication by Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:18 and 10:8, but this is different. In this instance, it's idol worship. The same word to sacrifice to idols. I will give you the Greek word, heidolotus, as well. E-I-D-O-L-O. E-I-D-O-L-O. T-O-T-H-U-S. Where you'll find the word eidolon. E-I-D-O-L-O-N. E-I-D-O-L-O-N. 1 John 5:21. Little children, it says, beware or stay away or keep away from idols. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Paul called the unbeliever a temple of what? Idol. Let me ask you. Is he saying that the unbeliever has shogo or voodoo in him? No. 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 So, idol worship in that instance will be what? You will see that he's talking about selfishness. Self. One. Two. Then he's saying to serve otherwise God. It need not be a graven image. No. So he calls the unbeliever that. And he says about the believer, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, that's Paul now. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Revelation 9:20. Said, not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone. We'll see later that this also will have reference to materialism. Materialism. So, let's go back to Jezebel. So, Jezebel here, a person or a teaching? Thank you. So, when you hear, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. Okay? I will kill her children with death. And he says, and you shall know that I am he that said the words of the earth, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Let me ask you, who should do verse 23? They. Huh? This church. He is telling them what to do. Because what they did not do, what they were doing before was to allow. He doesn't say, You will kill the children. How do you do that? By exposing the false doctrine. By stopping its influence. Are you there? It says, I detest. Okay? I detest. That killing the children is the work of the church. Now look at the word to kill the children. It's the word Paul used in Ephesians 2:16. Apoktaino. I spell it A-P-O-K-T-E-I-N-O. A-P-O-K-T-I-N-O. Ephesians 2:16. That he might reconcile both of them to God, unto God in one body, having slain the enmity thereby. So that's literal. No. That is figurative of what Jesus did. To slay. That is to remove something, which is exactly what he said to do here. Kill our children with death, and all the churches shall know that I'm he that searches the reins. So the church will do this. That's how it's going to happen. 24. I say unto many of you, which have not known the depth of Satan. Of course, Satan there is Satanas, which is opposition to the gospel. As they speak, I will put upon you no other body. So who had the previous body? Can you see it? I'll put upon you no other body. So what was their body? What was their responsibility? To hate the doctrine, to speak against it. Does it make sense? Okay. So revert to 14. I have a few things against you. Don't forget, the kata means, I saw something that was not right. Not that I am against you. I'm fighting you. No. Do you understand? Kata means, I'm going to say something that is not of you. Something that is not according to you. When you use kata, it is the opposite of according to. It's not according to you. That is, this is a strange thing with you. So look at this. 14. You hold the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam, it comes up again. The doctrine of Balaam has come up again. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block? So have you noticed that what we have been saying so far is doctrine? Who has noticed that? Okay. So who is responsible for doctrine in the local church? The members? It's not the members, though. Well, I guess it's the places now, it's not the members. But at this stage, things have not gotten that bad. It was not yet the members. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication? Thou also has them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. So notice what he said. The word stumbling block is a snare. A snare, like a trap. Look at how Balaam has been used. 2 Peter 2:14. Balaam. The teaching of Balaam, full of adultery, that cannot ease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Don't think that the adultery here is not talking about man and woman. And how they have exercised with conventional practices caused children. Who have forsaken the right way and have gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. And rebuke for his iniquity, the dumb house speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Serious words. So what can you see there about Balaam again? Greed. Covetousness. Are you listening? Okay. Again, Jude 11. Balaam. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of course. So what is the key thing about the doctrine of Balaam? Money. Money. You see Balaam's story in Numbers 22, verse 41. Let's even look at it. Numbers 22, verse 41. It came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up in the high place of Baal, and hence he might see the uttermost part of the people. So can you see what it caused people to do was to worship idol by the virtue of covetousness? Again, chapter 23, verse 18 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it, for he has spoken. Shall he not make it good? I've received the commandment to bless the way on. And he beheld not iniquity in Jacob, verse 21, neither have he perverseness in Israel. The Lord is, God is with him, and the shadow of the king is among them. Coming out of Egypt, as it were, the son of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, the vision against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, which God has wrought. So he said, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion, he shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. And he says, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Okay? But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, all that the Lord speaketh must I do. He said, come, I pray thee, bring thee into another place for adventure, to please God that they might curse them from them. Then he said, brought them to Pharaoh, build me 7 altars, prepare me 7 bulls and 7 rams. And he offered a bullock of a ram on the altar. That is chapter 24, verse 1. Then he pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He went not at other times to seek for the enchantment, but he set his face towards the wilderness. So you can see that basically, I mean, you read the story very well. He was a prophet given to covetousness and eventually idol worship. So that's why the next thing he says to this church in Revelation 2 is that they also had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So two things about this. One, this church, Revelation 2. You hold the doctrine of Balaam. You also hold the doctrine, also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is ahead. So two things. Number one, covetousness. And number two, they had company with those who had the Nicolaitan doctrine, overcoming people. Notice what he says about this particular one. I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So there will be opposition against this teaching. Covetousness. Okay? Did you notice he didn't say that the church was committing idolatry? He didn't say that. He only said that you have this teaching. Then he reminded them of the import of that teaching from Balaam. Are you following this at all? He didn't say the children of God have committed fornication or idolatry. That's not what he's saying. He's only making reference to what the doctrine of Balaam represents. And he mentions the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Again, the issue here is their doctrine. Just like Ephesus is a doctrine. And he says it will cause a stumbling block, a snare on the people. Look at one quickly. Revelation 3:17. This is Laodicea. We'll come to Laodicea later. Because you say, I am rich. Can you see that? They say it. It's a teaching. Say it in church. I'm rich. We can never be broke again. And increase with goods. And a bit of nothing. We can never be broke. And knows not that you are wretched. Yea. Miserable. Poor, blind, and naked. That's a serious one. And you know, this is probably... You know, who run from this kind of thing? You know? our church. We owe nobody. We build this place without a loan. We raise the offering in one service. Then you are wretched. That's what it comes. And these are the kind of testimonies we celebrate. Let's get back to 2. Anyway, I just have to note that. So it says verse 16, I will fight them against those who teach falsely and wrongly. Have we checked Thyatira? Have we? We have. Have we? Okay, we have. Okay. Which one have we not seen? We have not checked Sardis. No, we don't have anything in Sardis. Okay, we do. We have something in Sardis. 3:2. I know thy works, one, that thou hast a name that liveth and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. So there were works. But it says, I have not found them perfect. And we must look at what this statement means. The word perfect there is the word plero. To bring something to a fruition. to a conclusion. Notice this. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou received and heard and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So he mentions the word defiled, which is the Greek word mohuno, M-O-U-U-N-O. It means a stain. That's what it is. Nothing more than that. Then he mentions a garment, which is the word himation, H-I-M-A-T-I-O-N, H-I-M-A-T-I-O-N, which refers to an outward cloth. So obviously he's dealing with their conduct. But conduct in what? Look at this. It says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk before me in white, for they are worthy. Obviously referring to their conduct in this church. So what will be the defilement? The defilement cannot be seen, because we read in Revelation 1, 5 and 6, that he has washed us. So what could be the defilement? Look at it again. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. What would you think this is? Lack of maturity? What? I'm asking a question. What could it be? And let's look at it again. I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch. So what could you spot this as? Say, hold fast. Remember. Huh? Legalism? That's too far. What else? Remember, watch, hold fast. Huh? Spiritual growth, of course, that's what everybody is. Everybody's supposed to grow spiritually. But what is the thing about this church? Watch, remember, hold fast. Let me see. Watch, remember, hold fast. The finished work. Where are you all running to? Watch, hold fast. Can't be hold fast to finish work. Hold fast. Remember. Watch. Huh? Your works are not brought to plural. Watch, hold fast. Remember. Look at the words I've used. Watch. Hold fast. Remember. Who can help us? What's it on? Say it now. Watch, hold fast, remember. Recognize. Watch, hold fast, remember. Say, but there are some who have not defiled themselves in service. Their garments. and they walk with me because they are worthy. I won't answer this question. For you not, I've already given you enough lead. I'll ask you on Monday. I won't answer you. What old fast remember? And there was nothing said than your works are not perfect. That's all. You have a name that you live and you are dead, but your works are not perfect. And you're still asking what you do. Okay. Let's go further. So what other church are we supposed to look at now? Okay, Laodicea. Have we tried Laodicea? No, we haven't. Verse 14, chapter 3. I know thy works, verse 15. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. Okay? So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It made it appear like we were in his mouth, he was eating us. Some have said what it means is that I will deborn again you. So that means being born again is being in the mouth of Jesus. You know, when you want to read what you want to read, you will find it there. And it's there. In the earlier years, the way I explained that thing, I had serious issues with that text. Should I give you my explanation? You want to hear it? So you can make fun of me. I won't tell you. Okay. I used to say that. You want to hear it? I used to say that it means that he will see in his discussions with the Father about us. That's in the days of Rev. That's Rev. Oh! He will cease in his discussion with the Father. Serious matter. Anyway, it's not difficult to understand what he said. Except you want to make it difficult. Should we look at it? Take away that we are in his mouth. First of all, take that away. When you take that away, it will be clear to you. So, calm down and remove thinking the believer is chewing gum in the mouth of Jesus. Have you done that? Very good. So, since you have done that, the next thing should be what? What did he say he will spew out? Is the Greek word emeo, the spew out, emeo means to, just means to come out of his mouth. To come out of my mouth. That's what it means. It's used to vomit, actually. It's also used to spit. So pay attention now. So that you will not enter something else. What would he spew out? The works or the believer? Thank God for your life. Is it simple? Eh? Is it simple? D can be you or works, but it can't be you because he was talking about your works. And by using lukewarm, lukewarm refers to works. I know your works. So pay attention. Is it making sense to you? Okay? Because you say, I am rich. Look at a lukewarm church and you won't imagine that they are wealthy. Yeah? I would think that a lukewarm, a wealthy church shouldn't be called lukewarm. I think Jesus is getting extreme here. You have no need of nothing. They have money. Thou, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Which refers to their works, don't forget. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness will not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye, that thou mayest see. So this has affected their entire spiritual perception. Wealth. Those that I love, I chasten. So, what did he spew out? The word spew out is used in grammar to talk about when you are vexed about something. So, that means the way John used it is, your works are not worth my talking about. So, he's spewing it out. He just did it. By calling them wretched, he's spewing the works out. Do you understand that? By saying you are wretched, that is spewing out. He's not saying, I will spew you out of my mouth. You are not tasting fine. Because if that was what he meant, which is not realistic, he would now say in 19, I love you. That's why I am rebuking you. The same church. So the spewing out is to rebuke their works. Is it clear? Is that very clear? I'm asking the question. Is that clear? So to spew out is to rebuke their works. These are not acceptable. Like we said initially, the entire set of letters were letters about works. That's why what you will read will be reward. They are not threat letters about salvation. Or a danger alert on the loss of salvation. No. So, have we treated the four churches that had a rebuke? Have we? I'm asking a question. Have we? Ephesus? Pergamos? The three are okay here. Sardis? And are there four or five? There are five. No. Ephesus, then we have Pergamos, Thyatira, yes, Sardis, four, then Laodicea, five. Good. So we have two who have nothing. And that's Simeon in verse 8, chapter 2. And then the last one, Philadelphia. So two. But you see there's something in those two letters, in spite of the fact that there was nothing for them to repent of. There are things there as well that they will learn from. So repentance or lack of saying to repent does not mean there's nothing to learn. You'll see something to learn shortly. So go through it again. Just stick to the rebuke. I'll give you 2 minutes. If anything is not clear, raise your hand. Minus the one I say you can't find. Luke 2 to 5. Just stick to the rebuke section of the Constitution. If anything is not clear, raise your hand. I'll explain it to you. I'll give you 3 minutes. Ephesus, Laodicea, Thyatira, Sardis, and Pergamos, right? Five. Laodicea was their problem doctrine. It's doctrine. You say, is that not doctrine? You say that we are rich. Our ministry has money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've never had need. Never. Our account is now in billions of dollars. By saying that, then you are miserable. That speaking is missing. Because you know the gospel is about eternal things. The moment you make a boast about natural things, you are entering error. Have you found out that almost the strongest rebuke in these letters is about materialism? Who has noticed? Who has noticed that? Have you noticed that? Materialism was the height of rebuke. Personally, I didn't pay attention to this until 2007. This particular aspect of this rebuke, I never did. Anything that is not clear? The garment, we said, is outward conduct, right? So that should be. You understand? I will kill their children. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Okay. How is he going to do that? How is he going to abolish that? By the church. He's asking them to do that. Okay. I will spew you out of my mouth. I'm chewing you. Of course, you know what that means. What else? So are we good? Okay. Can we proceed further? Okay. So now let's look at the commendation. There was commendation, just like the epistles. Ephesus. Look at the commendation. So we're looking at works. We want to look at the works. You will discover something that will arrest your attention. If you don't see it, we want to now look at the works. So far, did you notice that there was not one instruction or rebuke about morality? Who has noticed that? Let me see if you noticed that. It was about doctrine. As important as morality is, because doctrine produces morality. When I say morality, I mean a sanctified one now, not for self-righteousness. But notice this, look at Ephesians 2:2. Just like every epistle, said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What does that mean? He's in the midst of the church, right? And then he holds the messengers. Very good. Look at 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. And now you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. So before you talk about the Ephesian church, look at what they have done. They have labored. It mentions their patience. They don't have tolerance for false doctrine. So these are the works of salvation, right? Works of faith. They don't have tolerance for false doctrine. It says you have tried, which is the word perizo, P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. It means P-E-I-R-A-Z-O, to make full proof and expose. Is that clear? To make full proof. That means their doctrine exposed those who say they are apostles and they are not. So they said some call themselves apostles, but they are not. You found them to be liars. So that is a work of faith. Is that clear? Your labor, your patience, you found them to be. That's Ephesus. However, they became works conscious. And they say, remember from where you have fallen. Notice this. Do you know that the church was not falling? It's only where. That is, there's this part that you are not doing well. There is this part. And interestingly, this was the only church, he said, the candlestick will be taken away. Why? Because they were works conscious. Ephesus. The second church we'll look at is Smyrna. Smyrna. S-M. Y-R-N-A. This thing said, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Look at this. I know your works. Look at this. And poverty. But you are rich. Because one that says, I am rich. Because that one poor and miserable. Not just that. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not. But son of Satan, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. What do you call that? That's encouragement. So, with the commendation comes an encouragement. Persecution. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you will be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's the word Stephanos. Notice that I will give you a crown of life. Is not, I will give to you the tree of life. The word crown already, and pay attention. He now changes it. We're coming to that later in verse 11. He that overcome it. So it's different. He's saying, look, if you don't, if you're not afraid and you endure the tribulation, I will give you a reward. Stephanos. The same word that James used in James 1:12. That when you endure temptation, you will receive a reward. 2 Timothy 4:7. The crown of righteousness, Paul, to them that love is appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7. Is spoken of concerning tribulation and persecution. You can't have that. I mean, so far, I'm looking at most of you now. You can't expect a reward for enduring tribulation when you didn't endure any. Amen. So it's a reward of works. Salvation is common, rewards are not. Salvation is by faith. Reward is the work of faith is what brings reward. So this church faced persecution. You know, one of the things they faced was material tribulation. They didn't have money. Say, but you are rich. Why did he call them rich? Because they endured it. He called them rich. Smyrna. So even though there was nothing against Smyrna, there was encouragement. And there was also a teaching, fear not. Don't be afraid. So if they send you to Smyrna, you teach them not to be afraid. You teach them to stay in endurance. You teach them to be patient. If they are sent to Smyrna, the third church will be Pergamos. I know your works. You dwell even where Satan's seat is, where there's opposition, and you hold fast my name. You have not denied my faith. Even this way, Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelled. That is, they stood with the gospel. Yet, they were carousing with false doctrine. You have not denied it. You have not denied the gospel. You have not said Christ is the life of the dead. You are preaching the finished work of redemption. Amen. I say who you are in Christ. You have the grace message, the faith message. All the messages that talk about Jesus. But you sow seed for greater glory. But $58 blessing. First fruit. You teach those things as the way to tap into the glory of the man of God. That's the Colossians. You teach those things. You say, pastor has his key from heaven. After pointing us to Christ, you point us to pastor. Nicolaitan. So say you have the gospel, you have not denied what Christ has done, but then you have the materialism gospel. The third church, or fourth, is Thyatira. After Pergamos, Thyatira is in verse 18. I know your works, your love, charity, love, service, faith, patience, your works, to be last, to be more than the first, notwithstanding. You have permitted false doctrine. So they have love, service, faith. Verse 24. Some don't have this doctrine. Or that church, they didn't have the doctrine. The issue with this church was that they had conflict with those who were teaching false doctrine. So a church, I say this to young ministers like myself, that your doctrine is your ministry. Is it very clear now? Your doctrine is what? Your ministry. It's not just for you to be quoting who you are in Christ, but the way you run ministry shows that you are company with somebody else. No. I like something Pastor Tosh often says. He says that if it is not the word, if it looks like it is not good enough, it must be the word. So, one of the things that you need to do, you can see that the apostles, even here now, are very, and Jesus in the four gospels, you can see how strong he was about covetousness. You can see the book of Acts. You can blame Peter for all you like. But you see, when there's someone, look at this guy, Simon the sorcerer. When you see a man like Bushiri, you know Bushiri is a false prophet. And you see him, you don't know. Then what do you know? You don't have to know false prophet. If you don't know false prophet, are you growing spiritually? Can't you see? You've allowed Jezebel all over you. You know that? Bushiri is a false prophet. He knows. He knows the false prophet. The way he even walks, you know. Anyway, Simon the sorcerer, he held an entire city. So it's possible for someone to actually use enchantment against the whole city. Like T.B. Joshua. And they say, and they called him a man of the great power of God. They thought he was a man of God. Till the gospel was preached against the message. Imagine if Philip also got there and said, a seed will meet any need. They just say himself and Simon the sorcerer are partners. And to know how Simon operated, they give me this power. So that's how we get it. He offered them money. If they had just said, give me this power, Peter would probably have said, no. They're born of God. But he said, he offered them money. Give me this power. He's born again, no? But his old ways, they are not left him. That's the source of income for him. That whosoever I lay my hands upon, he also shall receive the Holy Ghost. So you can have a whole city held like this. Have you seen those Bushiri videos? You see adults. My God. There was one he said he was walking in the air. And you will see, where's Pastor Lang? Pastor Lang is an investigator. You will see the rope. There was one he did very fast. He said, hey, and I said, prophet. There was one. He said, someone said from Malawi. He said, Pastor, what's going on? And he said, he will hold them. He said, what's your boy, ex-boyfriend? The guy said, Philip. He said, is that your ex-boyfriend or your recent boyfriend? Philip. Then I said, maybe they missed the drama. The way they acted in the girl probably forgot. He said, no, Philip. Prophet, Philip is my ex-boyfriend. Okay. He said, Dennis. Oh, that's a very boyfriend. Oh! I said, look at this. I'm telling you. And he has wealthy. And one of the traits of a mature church is knowing butchering. Can't you see it? People think false prophets stay in the village. You think they are in Onisha? In the village, they know they'll wear suit, they'll be on TV. You think they are in Ijebuland and they wear white? No. They'll wear suit. They'll be on Christian channels. That's what they are. So you must, the teaching of God's word must equip a believer to spot false prophets. If your church is not doing that for you, then it's a wrong thing, the wrong system. It must point it out. Are you there? So the love, the service, and faith. There was something about Sardis. I know your works, verse 1, that you have a name that has lived in that, but be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain and ready to die. Okay, that's the one I said I wasn't going to talk about. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. That's important. But he mentioned those in verse 6, verse 4, who walk with him. So let's leave that. I actually have to go and look at that. Philadelphia, verse 6, chapter, the 6th one. Verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But you have little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them, they are Jews, and they are not, but to do lie. And behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he now gives them an instruction, verse 11. Hold fast what you have. Let no man do what? Take your crown. Let no one take your reward. Not salvation. Praise God. Can you see it? The last will be Laodicea. Laodicea has no works. And they are the wealthiest. Can't you see? Does Laodicea have works? Okay, well, they have. Neither are hot nor cold. So we can say, they are loved. He loved them. So say, God love me, doesn't mean there's works. He said, those that I rebuke and chastise are those that I love. So he asked them to be zealous. So one of the things we can say about Laodicea is there's a lackadaisical attitude. And it's a function of wealth. I remember Pastor Chris said this years ago, and I'll never forget what he said. He said there is a delusion that wealth gives you. For example, and what he used as an example, I won't forget. He said you can have a lot of money, and because of that, you despise divine healing. You just become lackadaisical about divine healing and the power of God because you feel I'm rich. Look at what that church said. I have enough. I don't have any needs. How would a believer say that when you ought to grow in the word? So, have you also seen that the presence of material things is not a proof that a man is doing the right thing? In fact, in some instances, it's a proof that he is not. I'm not making any sense here. It's a proof that he is not. Which church was that again? Which church is that? Laodicea. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said, take one, even if it is cold. Or hot. Of course, the word cold and hot is not in any way meaning cold means wrong, hot means no. Because I've told you the story before that there was Hierapolis, two and Colossae, that the water will come and then the one that gets to the middle, by the time it gets here, it becomes neither cold nor hot. Can you remember that description I gave you? That's what he said. So he used something that they could all see as a description. That is the same way. You cannot, there's nothing you can use this. You can't use this water. I can't, your works mean nothing. Because there's even nothing. All you have said is, I don't have need of anything. I have money. our ministry, we've done this, we've done that. We say, I am rich. That means the confession in that church is, I am rich. I am rich. I don't lack anything. Says you say it. Therefore, you don't know that. You say those kind of things. Because the minute a believer calls himself rich, based on earthly things, he becomes miserable. That means you are dwelling upon misery. Nothing wrong in saying you are rich in the natural. I mean, not to tell lies that you are not if you are. But it must never be a doctrine or a thing of acclaim for both. Does it make sense? Let's go back a bit to, there's something I didn't say, I don't know why. Philadelphia. You have not denied my work, and you have kept my word. And, okay, look at this. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. I think I mentioned that already. And in verse 10, it says, you'll be tested and tried. Then he encourages them about holding on in the period of test and trial. I must have mentioned that. So we have commendation. Which church has no commendation at all? Huh? Laodicea. And they were the richest. Is that not true? They had not a single commendation, but yet they were the richest. Okay, so let's close in. Now, so let's take the word overcoming. So at this point, let's hold on there. Let me. Any issues? So we are dealing with works, right? Are we dealing with works? So far, has there been anything you have noticed so far in the rebuke and in the commendation? What have you noticed? Who has noticed anything? In the rebuke and the commendation, what have you noticed? Did you notice that everything was related to ministry? Who noticed that? Come on. Did you notice that it was related to the work of ministry? Doctrine, and then the work of ministry. You have borne patience, you have endured. Did you notice that? Huh? Good. What else did you notice? Or something you want me to clarify? To clarify, I can do that quickly for you. Before we go into the other thing. Yes, sir. Well, yeah, not individuals. Not in the church at all. He was talking to the whole church. That's why we said that will be the responsibility of the leadership. So everything in Revelation will be achieved by teaching. Is that clear? Okay, that's an observation. Yes. Except Laodicea. He commended first. No, the first thing was that he asserted his relationship with them. One. Then he commended their works too, which is consistent with the Pauline epistle. Did you notice that? Very consistent. We've heard of your love and your faith. He will say that before he brings out the cane. And when he's done with the cane, he will bring you back like this. You understand? It's the same pattern. But in this instance, if you observe, look up, Laodicea. The way he went for Laodicea was the same way Paul went for Galatia. No commendation. He assured them of what God has done for them. And they went, pop! Why are you so soon removed? He just went down that level. Straight away. Because there was nothing to commend. Oh, fool. There was no letter wrote that had that kind of strong language. He wondered, too strong, you know. said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And he knows again, he said that there are those who are zealous about you. But he said it's not that their zealousness about you is not good for you. They write you letters, they send you emails, they come and check you at home, they send you free materials, free books, they say, look, that zealousness is not good for you. Some people say, ah, I like that man of God. Someone told me yesterday, say, I like that wife. He's a simple man. So you went to church for simplicity. You know you are not a serious person. You went to look at the person who wear kaftan. Ah, I like this man of God. He's so simple, he's a man of God. You see, when you want to see a real man of God, see how he dresses. Something is wrong with you. It's very simple. He smiles all the time. Bless you, Sean. Die, hallelujah. God bless you. How can that be? So, because you are carried away by that, the man speaks so simply, you know, it's a great day for you. Happy today. Amen. Thank God for it. And you say that is what you went to church. Are you so haughty that anybody will just be like, oh. It doesn't mean that he will collect your first fruit. And some people are very simple, but they bring in other guys who enter in, you know. He won't do the main job. He will bring guys in that will do the job for him. At work. How can you go to a job because somebody thought it's the pastor dressed simply? Because he uses it's very simple. That can you are not okay. That's the wrongest thing in the world. Simplicity. Have you seen Mahatma Gandhi before? He will wear and he has utter disrespect for the Bible. Utter disrespect. So, don't deceive yourself. You know a false teacher by what he says. And you will know as well a good local church by what is taught. So any other thing we have observed? So are those letters clearer to us? Okay, so let's look at the word overcomers. That's the list of our issues actually. Alright, he that overcometh. Notice, he said that to every church. That's the first thing you should notice. The word overcometh is the word nikau. It's not used for endurance. Nikau happens once. Nikau is not a process. It's a done work. It's used 14 times. So it's not a process. When you use the word nikau, it's not a process. It's not something you go through. It's an action. Okay? I'll take it again. Nikau, remember we looked at it as nikos. It's not something that happens over time. It's something that is either has happened or is happening. It's not a process. So, don't think he that overcometh means he that endures. Overcoming is not endurance. It is victory. So if overcoming was supposed to be an act of repentance, he would say it to the churches that had nothing with them. Do you understand? If overcoming was an act of repentance, then this mania will not hear anything about it. Because they must have overcome. Or, who else? Which other church? Huh? What is it? Philadelphia will not have anything. I shall give you a break of 15 minutes.